fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 81 days away to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics. Team Uganda will travel to Japan, hoping to end a 9-year absence from the Olympic medals podium. Uganda's last medal came at the 2012 London Games, where Stephen Kiprotich won the gold in the men's marathon. As Ugandan distance runners prepare for the Tokyo Games, they say they're looking at Joshua Cheptegei, the world record holder at 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, for inspiration. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Athletics fans cheer up long-distance runners at Mandela National Stadium, Nambole, as season runner Ronald Msagara beats 10,000 and 5,000 meters world record holder Joshua Cheptegei in a 1,500 meters race. Cheptegei says he chose the medium distance race so he can improve his speed.
This is my first track race of the year, and I chose to run in 1500 to test my speed as a part of the preparations for the Olympic Games. And you know, at times it gets more exciting and no one wants to lead the race, so you have to get some knowledge and some mechanism of trying to win the race, even if it is a slow race. So I chose 1500, and I wanted to of course come back to run from home, because I really missed running at Nambole, and I wanted to inspire the most of the young kids here who always watch me and they always run here in Nambole.
Ronald Msagara, who's ranked fourth in the world in 1500 meters category, says beating Cheptegei, no matter the race, is a no mean feat.
When you talk the name of Cheptegei in the world, everybody fears him. So coming here to compete with us is really a big advantage on her. Like, for example, is me. You know, Cheptegei is a guy of record pace. And whenever he's rapping, you see the pace he was also chasing, it was record pace. 55. So it's very hard. Running with him is really advantage to me, because I'm checking up also my body, checking up my time for Olympics. You know, all of us, we are yearning for Olympics. So as today, putting 336 is not bad, because I've never run here 336. This is my first time. I've been always running 340 here, then I go outside for my competition. But putting 36 is a really blessing, it's a advantage to me, it's showing I'm moving somewhere. Yeah.
Young runners here, such as long-distance runner Rogers Tibet, believe by training alongside Cheptegei, they become better runners.
The way Cheptegei is shining, that is a king track, king of the track. So we shall be the ones. That's why we encourage him more further, that let him break records aside, that for us, we shall be keeping our records within the country. By 2024, he will be going to marathon. Then we shall be to guard the records around. That once someone is trying to take away, we shall be the ones to return it.
3,000 meters Kipchoge runner Dennis Kiprotich agrees. He says he's learning a lot from Cheptegei.
He's just a living kind, whereby he can at least gives you enough advice, purposely in the areas of training. Yeah, yeah. Where you are weak in the side, he tells you to at least make it. Yeah.
Uganda's athletic medals at the Olympics have come from short-distance races, including Jonah Kibwa's, who stunned the world when he raced to gold in 400 meters hurdles at the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich, setting a then world record time of 47.82 seconds, despite running on the inside lane. Splinter Orgot Thathis says he has what it takes to emulate a Kibwa.
So I'm here to better my time and improve my ranking in IWF. I'm just looking forward to the under 20 games and qualifying for the Olympics as well, but my main focus is to qualify for the under 20 games, which will be in Kenya. Yeah. National records, and to break the national records, the 100 and the 200. And I believe our sprints have greatly improved. So I'm sure that in the near future, even the sprints and the short distance will also compete in the IWF and world competitions.
Kenyan sprinter Mark Othieno Odhiambo also came in to fine-tune ahead of the Olympics, just like other elite runners from South Sudan and Rwanda.
Our sprinters really need more race sharpness, and I really thank God for this year, because we are trying to stretch ourselves, just looking for small meets, especially this one. And 2 weeks ago I was in Zambia. I liked the performance. I did my personal best, 10-1-1. So this week I'm looking forward to do another personal best.
Namai Mawerere is the spokesperson for the Uganda Athletics Federation.
We had some qualifiers 2020 before the postponement of the Olympics. At that time we had 23 qualifiers. But being that it was in the 2020 season, we want them to confirm their performance of 2020. That's why we have organized these competitions for them, and we expect some of them to hit better times, and we expect others to qualify for those championships. And at the end of the day, as a federation, we have to meet to select the best.
Ugandan runners are expected to participate in various competitions, including the 2021 African Senior Championships in June and World Junior Championships in Kenya later this year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakaninji in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A top Egyptian Olympic official says his country hopes to win several medals at the Tokyo Games. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kampala, Uganda, where he reached the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee, Sharif El Arian.
Team Egypt is preparing at the highest level. Egypt, fortunately, is open. We are not in lockdown or closed, so we have the chance to train well. The only problem is that all our outside preparations from competitions or camps mostly have been cancelled due to countries either having problems in arriving there or too much precautions. Okay, so it's very difficult, but we are preparing our teams all locally in Egypt very well.
Can you give an insight on the medal chances of Team Egypt?
No one can really tell after the 1 year postponement, and lots of changes I expect will happen in the performance of all players around the world, who trained well, who didn't. But we keep our expectations the same. We were hoping for five or more medals, but I think it's a more realistic thing to say that we are probably going to get something between 2 and 4, maybe 3 medals. This is more realistic, especially that we have our weightlifters, our weightlifting federation is banned for 2 years because of some doping allegations with the junior team. So we are not allowed till now. We have appealed, but we are not allowed till now to participate in weightlifting. This will make a huge difference, at least 2 medals more.
Do you still have qualifying events for the Games?
Yes, we still have qualifying events up to the 14th of June, as all the international federations have. Some games we have already qualified, finished. Some we are still qualifying. Some we have finished qualifying and didn't qualify. But at the end, we have till now more than 100 players qualified. We're expecting a minimum of 132, maximum 142 players, men and women, qualified by the 15th of June. And we are already qualified in 24 Olympic sports. We might qualify in 25. That would be our maximum if it happens.
Any injury worries in the camp?
As for injuries, yes, we do have injuries. In pentathlon, the last World Cup, we had a couple of injuries. One boy had a shoulder problem and is being treated now. One of our potential medalists, actually. In other sports, but mainly minor injuries that we are dealing with now.
Where are your athletes camping before going to Tokyo for the Olympic Games?
It doesn't look like we are going to be able to camp anywhere. We just want to adjust the time difference between us and Tokyo, so we don't have any jet lags. And mostly teams will be going out from Egypt directly to the Games. Still, some sports are trying to figure out camps either in Japan or in Korea or somewhere near, but it doesn't look very promising till now.
That's Sharif El-Aryan, the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kampala, Uganda, where he was attending a meeting of the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks to Prince Nesta for hosting the Sunny Side of Sports on April 29th and April 30th. Prince joins us once again on this third day of May with another look at the weekend highlights in the major European football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Goals from Egyptian footballer Mohamed Elneny and Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang propelled Arsenal back to the top half of the table after securing a 2-0 win against Newcastle at St. James's Park. The Gunners have now beaten the Magpies in 6 consecutive games in all competitions, and the win is a confidence boost for them ahead of Thursday's Europa League semi-final clash against Villarreal. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta was pleased with his team's performance.
That's all we wanted. We wanted to keep the team fresh, players with the right attitude to play this game, and being able to focus just on today. And I think we had a really strong performance from the beginning. We dominated the game and we got the 3 points, which we needed. That it helps for Thursday as well.
That was Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta following his side's Premier League victory against Newcastle United. German youngster Kai Havertz scored a brace as Chelsea cruised to a 2-0 win against Fulham at Stamford Bridge. Thomas Tuchel has now kept more clean sheets than any other manager in Premier League history from their first 15 games in charge of the competition. He is the 47-year-old describing his team's Premier League win over Fulham.
It was absolutely necessary that we play with full focus and we accept the challenge to be the toughest challenge today and to invest fully also physically, not only mentally. And that's why I'm absolutely happy, and that's why the team gets full credit for this game. This was a big win. Now we arrive with a clear mind and have nothing to regret and nothing else to think about than Wednesday game.
That was Chelsea's manager Thomas Tuchel reviewing his side's win over Fulham. The win puts the Blues 6 points clear of West Ham and just 2 behind Leicester City, who earned a hard-fought 1-1 draw against 10-man Southampton at St. Mary. The Foxes need to hang on to third place to cement their place in next season's Champions League, since the team that finishes fourth place will be reduced to a Europa League qualification spot in the event that Chelsea are crowned Champions League winners Arsenal clinches the Europa League title and both clubs finish outside the top four. Sergio Aguero and Ferran Torres both recorded their names on the score sheet to help league leaders Manchester City cruise to a 2-1 victory over Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. Gareth Bale also scored a hat-trick, while Son Heung-min added another to help Tottenham cruise to a 4-0 victory over relegated Sheffield United as they maintain their pursuit over European football next season. All 9 of Bale's Premier League goals this season have come at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, while Son has now joined the likes of his fellow clubmate Harry Kane in Manchester United's Bruno Fernandes as one of the 3 players to both score and assist 10-plus goals in Premier League this season. Spurs will next up travel to Elland Road to face Leeds United next Saturday, while Sheffield United will also be taking on Crystal Palace on the same day. Meanwhile, Sunday's Premier League fixture pitting Manchester United against their perennial rivals Liverpool was postponed after thousands of angry Red Devil fans gathered at Old Trafford, with about 200 invading the pitch in a demonstration against the team's owners, the Glazer family. The movement against the US owners gained momentum following the team's failed attempt to form part of a breakaway European Super League. If played, the game could have had a significant repercussion to the Premier League, in the sense that if Manchester United had been beaten by the Reds, then Manchester City would have been confirmed as Premier League champions. Moving on to the French League, Brazilian star Neymar scored one and set up the other as Paris Saint-Germain snapped Lens's 13-match unbeaten run in a 2-1 home win. The win gave the Parisians a boost, going into their highly anticipated Tuesday's Champions League semi-final clash at Manchester City. PSG are now 75 points, a point behind league leaders Lille, who cruised to a 2-0 win against Nice and are now 3 wins from the title. Baraki Mars opened the scoring in the 13th minute before Mehmet Selik sealed the victory. Goals from Dutch winger of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay, Marcelo, and French footballer of Algerian descent Ryan Cherki ensured fourth place Lyon revived their Champions League hopes by cruising to a 3-2 win against third place Monaco at the Principality Stadium. And in Spain, 6-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi scored a brace, while Antoine Griezmann added another as Barcelona came from behind to beat Valencia 3-2 and keep their title hopes alive with 4 games to go in La Liga. Barca currently sit third on 74 points, 2 behind league leaders Atletico Madrid, who stayed in charge of the La Liga title race by grinding out a much-needed 1-0 away win against Elk, thanks to Marcus Llorente's deflected shot in the 23rd minute. Eder Militao and Casemiro also struck in the second half to ensure second place Real Madrid secured a 2-0 home win over Osasuna. Fourth place Sevilla hosts Athletic Bilbao on Monday in a do-or-die duel. There's gonna be plenty of mouth-watering fixtures next weekend, which will see Real Madrid take on Sevilla, while Barcelona will take on Atletico in what promises to be another dramatic weekend in La Liga. And finally in Italy, Italian giants Inter Milan ended their 11-year wait to clinch their first Serie A title. Inter, who ended Juventus's 9-year reign, are now 13 points clear at the top of the league with 4 games remaining. The Nerazzurri partly owe their success to their Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku, who has now scored 21 goals, second only to 5-time Ballon d'Or winner and Juventus striker Cristiano Ronaldo, who also scored during the weekend to ensure Juve recorded a 2-1 victory at Udinese. The defending champions have struggled this season under coach Andre Pirlo. Fourth place AC Milan also cruised to a 2-0 victory against Benevento at the San Siro. And Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with a package of African football news.
The draw for the quarterfinal stages of the African Champions League and the Confederation Cup were held on Friday. Defending champions Al Ahly of Egypt and their South African coach will take on his former club, Mamelodi Sundowns. Holders Al Ahly against Mamelodi Sundowns will be interesting of the four quarterfinal ties to be played over successive weekends in May as they meet for the third successive time at this stage of the competition. In the other draws, Melodia Algas will play Wydad Casablanca, CR Belouizdad will face Esperance of Tunisia, and Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa will play Simba of Tanzania. In the semi-final draw, the winner of Alga and Wydad will play the winner between Kaizer Chiefs and Simba, and the winner between Belouizdad and Esperance meet the winner between Al Ahly and Mamelodi Sundowns. In the Confederation Cup quarter-final draw, CS Sfaxien of Tunisia play JS Kabylie of Algeria, Orlando Pirates of South Africa meet Raja Casablanca of Morocco, Pyramids of Egypt play Enyimba of Nigeria, and Cotton Sport of Cameroon take on Giraffe of Senegal. In the semi-final draw for the Confederation Cup, the winner between Cotton Sport and Giraffe play the winner between Sfaxien and JS Kabylie, and the winner between Pyramids and Enyimba meet the winner between Orlando Pirates and Raja Casablanca. Meanwhile, there are reports that the DR Congo Football Federation is appealing the eligibility of Guela Kanga to play for Gabon. Gabon recently qualified for next year's Africa Cup of Nations ahead of DR Congo, who finished third in Group D behind the Panthers and table leaders the Gambia. It's not yet known why DR Congo is challenging the right of Kanga to play for Gabon. Kanga first played for Gabon in 2012. If it's proven that Kanga is not eligible to play for Gabon, then CAF would strip the Panthers of all 10 points it earned from this Nations Cup qualifying campaign. That would move Gabon to bottom of Group D and push DR Congo to the top to qualify alongside the Gambia, who would now be runners-up with Angola moving to third. And the Sierra Leone Football Association, SLFA, might decide to appeal the Court of Arbitration for Sport over the abandoned 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Benin. CAF rejected Sierra Leone's claim they should be awarded the win for the game rather than it being rescheduled for June. The Group L tie was supposed to have taken place in Freetown in March, but was called off when Benin refused to play as they disputed five of its players returning positive COVID-19 tests that would have ruled them out of the match. A draw for Benin would be enough for them to go through to the finals, while Sierra Leone would need a 1-0 win or a two-goal margin of victory if they concede a goal. A qualification for Sierra Leone would end a 25-year wait of qualifying for Africa's number one football tournament for the West African nation.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Fans of Watford Football Club recently celebrated the team securing promotion back in the English Premier League next season. In U.S. horse racing, Medina Spirit won the 147th running of the Kentucky Derby over the weekend. The race is the first jewel in thoroughbred horse racing's Triple Crown. And the race also marked a record 7th Kentucky Derby win for trainer Bob Baffert.
We came in under the radar, and I just, you know, I wasn't going to come in here and brag or anything like that. You know, the horse been getting beat, and so for him to win, it just happened.
As Prince Nesta reported earlier in the show, Sunday's English Premier League football match between Manchester United and Liverpool was postponed after protests by Man U fans. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. Sunday marked the first time a Premier League match has been postponed because of fan protests. And despite supporters being prohibited from entering Old Trafford due to the coronavirus pandemic, around 200 Manchester United fans bypassed police and stormed the pitch, setting off flares and carrying posters that called for the Glazer family to terminate their 16-year ownership of the club. The protests followed the club owner's decision last month to join the European Super League. But despite later pulling out of the tournament and issuing an apology, those who demonstrated on Sunday told Reuters News it's time for the Glazers to sever ties with Manchester United.
This needed to be done, definitely needed to be done. You know, with the Glazers, it's been a long time coming. Obviously, we've had a heritage that they've taken away, not just about the Super League, but just in general. It's needed to be. I think it's needed to be done anyway.
So they only think about money, don't they? That's all they're interested in, money. You know, that's their only motivation. They don't care about English football. They don't know the culture. They might have taken a little bit of notice after their failed attempt to get the Super League going, but I doubt it, really. You know, it's only money will get rid of him, to be honest.
The reason there's so much frustration is they've not communicated with the fans for 16 years. And that leads to this kind of anger we've seen on this level. You know, because if you don't communicate with the fans, you're bound to see this. And we've seen it, I think at Arsenal was the team that has the most common with us. Because they're the same, they've wanted their owners gone for a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of anger, isn't it?
It's
the lack of communication.
It is.
And one thing I think we need to make clear is a couple of big signings doesn't make this go away.
That's the thing. That's what they'll look to do. They'll look to try and silence certain sides of the fan bases because they do look at it more in the fact that because you haven't had signings, we're going to start voicing our opinions. But it's not. It's not about that. You can sign Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Mbappe. Sign them all, but it doesn't mean that we still want you in the club.
Police were eventually able to push protesters off the pitch and away from the stadium, but it's believed the field was damaged by fans. It's also been reported that two police officers were injured during the demonstrations, with one requiring emergency treatment. Manchester United's highly anticipated match against Liverpool was to be staged in the midst of a weekend boycott that was already underway on social media. Britain's soccer leagues went dark on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to protest growing online harassment aimed at black and brown players in the UK. Manchester United reported a 350% increase in online abuse towards its players since September 2019, with 86% of the comments deemed racist. And ahead of Sunday's postponed match, Man United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer voiced his support of the boycott.
I'm very pleased that we make this boycott. I think it's important. You know, ever since I've come here, we've been speaking regularly in intervals too often about racism, discrimination, abuse. And okay, of course, this is our way of taking a standpoint. We've got our own campaign as well, See Red. I think it's important that we affect people, influence people. We know we're not going to stop it, but at least hopefully we can influence people a little bit and then a little bit and then a little bit. And in the end, we stop talking about it because no one's benefiting from this situation.
The boycott that is set to end on Monday was also supported by UEFA, as well as the Rugby Football Union and English Cricket. In the meantime, talks are still ongoing about when the postponed Premier League match between Manchester United and Liverpool will be rescheduled in this already hectic football season. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the May 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.